This is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All right, welcome to One Bills Live here midweek. As we are still digesting the final morsels of the NFL draft and some veteran roster additions early this week that we'll discuss in earnest today. But Steve, before we get to all of that, I am proud to report Chris Brown 1, Nature 0.
What, oh, you beat the robin?
I have defeated the birds. In my backyard.
I do hope you remained. I hope your moral compass is intact.
It was done in a very humane way.
All right.
The BB gun did not make an appearance. for those that don't know, earlier this week I was explaining to Steve that I've got very persistent robins in my backyard trying to land on top of like a ledge on the underside of my back patio covering. You know, I have a permanent structure covering in my backyard that covers my back concrete
pad. What'd you do?
So after sweeping away 3 attempts at a nest, I went first with a rubber alligator, like a tiny one, just sat him up there to try to spook him.
Mm-hmm.
They kicked it off the ledge, unimpressed.
Okay.
I tried one of those owls that you often see people put on top of their houses,
right,
to keep birds from roosting up there. They pooped on it, quite honestly.
Okay.
So
right.
Unintimidated there. So I turned then to bird spikes. Have you seen these?
Yep. They.
You just sit them up on top of the ledge where they are trying to roost.
And they can't land on them.
And they can't land because they're kind of in a V formation, alternating. So there's no way for them to land without poking themselves on one of the spikes. And these were plastic. They're not even metal. Success, Steve. Success. Now, initially, I will tell you, I only put them in the immediate area where they were trying to set up shop. I did not go all the way across said ledge. So I put like 2 or 3 of them up. I had like a 10-foot length of bird spikes in little 6-inch or 1-foot sections. And I only put 2 up where they had been roosting. Because I'm like, why am I going to use all these if this is the – because they kept going to the same exact spot. So I come home after I put those 2 up at the end of the workday.
Right.
I kid you not, I am in my kitchen looking out my backsliding door where I have full view of the patio area, and one robin is on the ledge next to the bird spikes that I just put up, and the other one is on the ledge on the other side of the patio,
right,
as if they are surveying future options.
Right.
That's at which great. Point I said to myself, looks like we're going to have to go all the way across. So we did, and I'm happy to report they have moved on to hopefully a tree, because I got to tell you,
tree.
I mean, their ancestors for thousands of years were more than happy putting a nest in a tree. And, you know, maybe this is the on-demand generation of robins as well as humans, because for some reason they were convinced they needed a dome. No domes, no room for domes at the inn here. You got to move on. So,
well,
they have moved on.
Congratulations on the win.
That's a victory.
Very nice.
For me.
A little victory.
My dad, when
you're
I was
winning,
little,
you're winning the off season.
That's right. Chris Brown 1, Nature 0. My dad used to battle. We had a mouse problem in our garage. We had a detached garage on the back of our property. I say property. It was a row house, like,
right,
you know, Levittown personified,
right,
post-World War II housing. And the garage was set back from the house. It wasn't attached. And it was butted up against our elementary school schoolyard. So you got field mice running here, there, and everywhere,
right,
out
right
there. So we had a mouse problem in the garage, and my dad literally kept score on the side wall of the garage with a piece of chalk because he'd set up mouse traps. And if he got one, Mike 1, mice, you know, 0. But here's the thing. The mice made a run. They made a run. They were ahead for a while, 4-3, stealing cheese and peanut butter balls and everything else. So we were wondering if my dad was going to pull it out, but I think he ended up winning like 6-4 or something in the end.
That's great.
So, yeah. The birds did not get on the board, I am happy to say. Because once they lay the eggs, now you know what I mean? Now you can't move.
Well, then your moral compass gets involved, yeah. And then it's like...
can't
how,
do that.
Yes, how, you know, how wild kingdom are you going to go?
Right, yeah. I don't want to go full Marlon Perkins. So, right. Yeah, so happy that that is set and out of the way. And I'm glad that the bird spikes worked. I know a lot of people were chiming in with me last week with suggestions. That was a good one. Worked to a T.
Yep.
So... hopefully, no more issues. The thing is, they keep coming back every year.
Well, yeah, they, they're not dumb. But
well, it's like they got a homing device on my patio, though.
Well, they do migrate, so yeah, they do.
But to the same exact spot? Well, like, what are they, like salmon? They go right
dude,
back?
Dude, you do it every day. You go miles away, you come right back to the same spot.
Yeah, I guess.
Come on. That's not the height of intelligence. That's
repetition.
Height?
I guess.
Finding your way home is not the height of intelligence.
I just didn't know how much they could cram into their little bird brains.
That's the lowest of bars, being able to find your way home.
Well, yeah. Except I've made it abundantly clear that is not home. And yet they still keep coming back every year trying to set up. So now I got to leave those things up year-round, which is what I'm going to have to do, apparently. there's some NFL news and notes concerning the AFC East. So let's go around the NFL, which, as you know, is brought to you by Kalida Health, the official healthcare system of the Buffalo Bills. Aaron Rodgers getting his way again. Even though he is no longer in Green Bay, he is clearly calling the shots in New York. After the Jets already signed Alan Lazard in free agency to convince Aaron Rodgers to accept a trade to the Jets, they have taken another step in that vein. They are signing veteran receiver Randall Cobb to a one-year contract to sign on with the Jets. And, you know, I'm sure that's all well and good as far as Aaron's concerned. But, Steve, since you've been in similar positions before as a professional football player, I'm going to ask this of you. If you're Corey Davis, Denzel Mims, Garrett Wilson even, and you see Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb walking into your receivers room who have had years of reps with Aaron Rodgers, how do you not think your catches right. and targets are getting eaten into precipitously?
Green Bay wasn't that good last year.
I know that.
With those guys. I know, and I get that the Jets are trying to have this honeymoon period and making sure he's all honky-dory, but let me tell you something. If your guys on the Jets can't beat those guys out, okay, fine. But if you keep those guys just to appease Aaron Rodgers when you got these other jokers who can really go, that's on you. That's on you.
I mean, I'm really starting to wonder here, how many receivers are they going to keep? Because this is what you're looking at right now. Okay, I'll run down the list for you. Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, Corey Davis, Denzel Mims, Mecole Hardman, Randall Cobb, and then you have some younger kids on the back half of the roster who probably don't have a snowball's chance of making this roster. So, I mean, I guess they keep all six of them and roll with those guys and put a couple of these kids on the practice squad. Someone's not going to be happy. There's going to be some weeks where somebody like Corey Davis is inactive. I don't know.
That's...
And let's not forget, it's not like they got a lot of money to throw around either. They're tight against the cap with Rodgers. I mean, they're going to try to fix that going forward.
I mean, they've got guys. Garrett Wilson, most notably, who is a really good player. They got out of Ohio State last year.
He's a number one wideout.
Right. You know, Denzel Mims and Lazard, Mecole Hardman. Yeah, I get it. I don't Cobb is a good receiver. We've seen him do some stuff, and they obviously have a relationship, personal relationship, and I get that too. I mean, you always want to go and play with your buddies on the team. I don't know, and certainly maybe Aaron Rodgers has seen enough, watched film, practiced a couple times with those guys or whatever. He's going to say, listen, bring Cobb in because he's better than that guy and that guy. Maybe not better than these three other guys.
Now he's making roster decisions.
Right. Well, that's the point, right? That's what we're talking about. They're bringing these guys in
to appease him
because Aaron wants it, or because they. I mean, they're not going to do that just because they think he wants it.
How slippery a slope is that?
It's very, I think, because at some point you're going to have to say, yeah, you know what? No, we're not going to.
We're not doing that. We're not. Why?
We're not. Yes, we're not going to do that.
I mean, it's one thing if you solicit the opinion of the quarterback. Hey, how would you feel about this? Hey, we're thinking about doing this. What do you think about that guy? You know, or hey, we're looking at this guy. We found out you and he have the same agent. What have you thought of him in your dealings with him or crossing paths with
best
him?
Case scenario in this case with Cobb is they come up and say, Aaron, listen, we're thinking about receiver A, receiver B, receiver C. We're signing another guy. We got these four guys. I know you have this thing with Cobb. What about these other guys? And he'd say, yeah, he may know something about those guys and this guy and that. I like Cobb better than all those guys. Or what? That's the best case scenario. Yeah. If they come up and say, what do you think about this four guys? And he says, I like Cobb. He's still got some gas in his tank. Sign him to a deal.
All right.
I get that. But if he's just going in there cold and saying, hey, I want this guy on the team, go get him, that's different.
It is different.
That's really different.
And I'm not going to say that we know definitively that it's one way or the other, but it's interesting to me the lengths they are going to. I mean, it's not like they're devoid of talent at the receiver position. This guy is going to suddenly put him over the top, Randall Cobb, who's like 33 years old. Like, I don't know. To me, it seems like you're trying to accommodate a guy who I'm already wondering what else is he asking for.
Like I
mean,
said,
he's walking around in the meeting rooms barefoot. You know, what does he want, a new pair of like Birkenstocks? What are we doing here?
Right. I don't know.
That's what I see him wearing.
If that's the case where they came to him and said, "Hey, we got a group of guys. What do you think? Does your boy Cobb have anything to get left in the tank?" And Aaron says, "Yeah, he does. You give him a shot at it." And then they bring him in and say, we'll give him a shot at it, but, you know, we're looking for a guy who's going to be a backup, a role player. You think he's up for that? Aaron goes, well, you can ask him if he is, but I'm cool with it. You know, that kind of thing. But if, like I said, if Aaron's in there saying, hey, this is a list of guys you got to go get in order for me not to drag you through the mud for the New York media, you better get it done. That's way different.
Yeah.
And maybe it's somewhere in between those. It's getting to be a thing now.
It's at least making me wonder.
It's a thing.
Like, how far are we going with this? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, what's next? Breakfast in bed every day? Like, what? I mean, where are we going?
Well, you know, he comes in and he says, hey, listen, Russell Wilson had an office in Denver.
Oh, remember that?
I'd like an office.
I forgot about that. He's already got courtside seats to the Knicks playoff games.
Right. And what's he going to do if things don't go really well and Aaron goes, you know what? Salah's not the guy. I think Nate Hackett is.
Oof.
You know, all of that. Then it morphs into, it's the abyss then. They're done.
Right.
Which wouldn't be at all surprising.
Yeah. This is official. The NFL is going to release the 2023 regular season schedule on Thursday, May 11th. We're anticipating a primetime release. That's what they've done the last several years. I don't see any reason why they would change that. Anything the NFL can make into a primetime event, they do. This is one of them. So we would assume that Thursday, May 11th, probably around 8 p.m. Eastern time, is when the regular season schedule comes out. So Bills fans that make road trips, have your hotel and airline pages open on your laptop, ready to hit purchase based on how the schedule plays out. I've got neighbors and friends that literally wait by their computer or on their phone to book. Like, for example, like when they played away at the Titans, everybody's big on the Nashville trip. You know, that if we're going to go to one road game, that's where we're going. We're going to Nashville.
Right.
And they're all sitting there waiting with their airline pages open.
I got family members are waiting on the London game.
Yeah.
They want to go see the London game because it's going to be in, theoretically, it could be in Tottenham Hotspur, which is going to be very closely related to the new stadium they're scratching dirt on over here now. So and that's a big thing.
Well, you'll know that early because the international dates are released prior to the full schedule. And as we understand it, the game the Bills will be playing at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London will be released on May 9th. So we will know that game date May 9th, Tuesday prior to the full schedule release.
I say that it just seems for the, obviously for the NFL network, because they have their own network as well, but for ESPN and, you know, sports networks, the NFL is just a fount of programming that just kills it in the numbers.
They do pretty well.
The draft.
Yeah, what was it, 54 million people or something?
Dwarfs NHL and NBA playoff games.
Yeah.
Dwarfs them. I mean, it's like commercial the break. They're like a commercial break. the draft.
Yeah, where
and it was, and let's face it, it's boring.
Yeah, the biggest shine is all the ice people are wearing on the first night.
Yeah. I mean, the second 2 days of the draft, guys, 2 and 4, kill it.
I got to tell you.
That's why they put it on. That's why
I was blown away. They're showing, you know, scenes of day 3 of the draft. It's Saturday. It's round 6.
That's right.
And there are fans.
People right there. Let's go.
Of a number of different teams decked out to the nines in team gear. Like, you can't even
It's Saturday.
You can't even see the person. He's got one of those morph suits on.
Oh, my God.
He was a Colts fan. And he's dancing in the aisle. It's round 6 on a Saturday. There is no hide nor hair of any players left on site.
It's day 6 on a Saturday, and your team stunk.
And you're dancing in the aisle on a Saturday in Kansas City.
Bro, you're a
goner. At an amphitheater where there are no headline people coming out.
You're a goner then, man.
I mean,
you are an absolute
You
goner.
Have jumped the shark.
Wow. You're right, though.
He wasn't alone.
I know. It's unbelievable. So that's why, you know, they got this schedule release program now. It's going to kill it in the numbers. They can't wait to get that thing on.
Yeah.
They can't wait. People can't get enough. Brownie, you and I, for a living, are talking about one team every day.
It's an insatiable appetite. It really is.
And we're getting calls. You and I are getting calls from Florida, Jersey, California, Alabama, Wyoming, Colorado, Jersey. What's wrong with us?
I'm sure there's something wrong with each and every one of us in some
you
way,
and I especially.
Shape, or form. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's great though. It's going to be awesome. I'm just like everybody else. I can't wait to see the schedule.
Isn't it amazing though?
We got a tough one this year.
The metamorphosis of the schedule release. And what it has turned into, like, it wasn't even a blip on the radar 10 years ago.
Right. It was like, oh, when's it? Is it out? Now, yeah, it came out yesterday. Really? What? Yeah. What's it look like?
Now it is a nationally televised primetime event.
A standalone television event.
A schedule. I don't know why I find
and
it so
listen,
funny.
Wait, wait,
but
wait. Wait, not only is it a schedule, Brownie, we already know who they're playing.
Well, that's right.
You know, home and away. We just don't know when.
Yeah.
We know.
We know the who and the where.
We know the who and the where.
So much of the mystery is gone,
except for the international games. We don't know where the where is.
And yet, it's going to pull ratings. It's going to pull ratings. It's pretty crazy.
There it is. There's the opponents.
Right.
The home and away.
So the Bills will be losing one of their home dates to the London game. So,
but they get 9 of them.
So
that's
still,
correct.
They'll still have 8 home games here in this in yeah. Orchard Park, and the 9th one will be overseas. The you know people who think they know and figure stuff out like that, they figure the Jacksonville game is going to be one of those games overseas because the Jacksonville has a
it's
big
a prime
presence
candidate
in London.
The Raiders, I think, were the other team that hasn't
Raiders,
been overseas in
right.
recent years. So those would be the those were the two we narrowed it down to with Neil Reynolds when we had him on about a month
right.
ago. Not long after the season,
but it could
had
be
ended.
A national. It could be a Cowboys game, or it could be a Jet game, even because
the
of
Cowboys, I will say, are another team that hasn't been over.
Right.
I don't know if they've been overseas once.
Well, they go to Mexico. They've been to Mexico.
Oh, that's right. Europe, I'm talking about.
Right.
I don't think they've been
Not
to Europe.
Europe.
They have been to Mexico a lot. You are right about that. So I guess that qualifies as their international
right.
games.
Right.
So. Yeah, whether they would do that.
I wonder.
Although I don't think Mexico is part of the rotation because they're renovating Azteca Stadium. I think that I think I remember seeing
yeah.
that. So no Mexico games this year.
The, yeah. I wonder if you were like say the LA Chargers or the Seattle Seahawks, even better. Say the Seattle Seahawks are gonna play in London. Do they go east or west? They might go north, like over the you know.
Oh, you're going right over the North Pole?
Right. Isn't it wouldn't it be shorter?
Yes, it would be. I would think, yeah.
Yeah, it would, right?
I would think that would seem to make sense. I mean, I know even when you fly a plane from Seattle to New York,
they go
north to kind of go over the narrower part of the earth for fewer air miles, burn less fuel, get
right.
there faster. Would you do that if you're going to the other side of the globe? Is it any shorter? No, because you're still going around the circumference of the Earth. Now you're putting me in a quandary here. I did okay in science class.
I don't know.
But my point was,
what if you get a team like L.A. and you're the Bills and you got like a 4-hour, 5-hour flight and they got like a 9-hour flight?
Yeah.
That's a difference.
I feel that. I get that, and I could see coaches
and it's,
taking issue with that.
It's 4 or 5 hours different from where we're at. It's like 9 hours different from where they are.
Yeah, 8 or 9.
Eight or nine hours. That's a big difference. And the problem is, the question is always, do you go over like right after your previous game, spend the week there, get acclimated, and get up and play the game? Or do you go like on
Thursday
Friday night
Friday, yeah.
and just – gut it out and play the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
I think most coaches will tell you they'd rather get there Saturday, go to sleep, get up, play the game, come home.
Oh,
but
really?
The league won't let them do that.
Yeah, that's too tight for me. I think the sports science has also said
there's
you
two ways
to
do it.
Give your players 2 days, at least 2 days in the new
it's
time
It's an hour
zone.
A day. You can
oh, is that
acclimate.
It?
So if it's a 5-hour difference, you need to go 4 or 5 days in advance to get acclimated 1 hour a day to adjust it further and further along. Or you go as late as possible, stay on your own schedule, and just get up,
well, right.
sleep,
when
and
you
go
over to Europe, they tell you don't go to sleep after you land.
Right.
You know, try to stay up as long as you can, get acclimated to the time
go
that
to bed
is
a
there.
Little early that night,
yeah.
local time, and then get up and you're at it. That's the two
That's
ways
what I've done, and it's worked relatively well.
I have done that as well, yeah.
That's not the same as playing a football game, though.
No. You got to have some coffee to make sure, you know what I mean? I mean, you go to sleep.
When in doubt,
you
coffee.
You get a good night's sleep, and you take a sleeping pill or whatever to get to sleep, and you make sure you stay asleep. Then when you wake up, it's just the opposite. You're energy drinking it through the day.
Mm-hmm. Do you find it easier going west, where you're picking up time, or east, losing time?
I think it's always better to go west.
I have a tougher time with that.
Do you?
I don't know why. I just remember on our honeymoon, we had our honeymoon in Hawaii, and we're flying all day.
Yeah.
By the time we land there, it's 2 p.m. And...
It's late.
8 o'clock at home. So
and you've been traveling.
And we're flying all day.
You're traveling.
You're
tired. And it's like,
we get there. And, of course, you know, my new bride is gung-ho like, hey, not supposed to go to sleep. Let's stay up. She decides, you know, I'm thinking, all right, so we'll walk down the street, maybe do a little, you know, browsing in the shops, whatever. She wants to go hit Diamond Head. Let's go to the top of Diamond Head. I was like, what? So there we are, climbing up. You know, it's not a hard climb. So I think it's only 700 feet. Anyway, we climb the thing. We come back down. We get a bite to eat because I'm starving after that. Now I'm looking at my watch, which I haven't even changed yet. Now it's like 11.
Yeah.
11 p.m. And I'm all right. I had a meal.
Right.
Stomach's working. Feel good. So we go back to the hotel, and she's like, all right, let's just come back here. We'll take a little cat nap, and then we'll head out and, you know, hit the town at night because it'll be night by that time there. We were down for 4 hours.
You're right. Yeah.
We were out.
Yeah.
It's crashed.
It's rough trying to make that time change. And, yeah, it's – that's going to be an issue. I think if I know – this guy, these guys, Sean and Brandon and all those guys, they will probably abbreviate the weekend in London.
Yeah, I can't see them leaving any sooner than Thursday, right? They like their facilities here a lot.
Right. You want to keep it as normal
as possible.
No matter
what preparations you make, it's not going to be the same over there.
It may make a difference if they have like a bye week before or after. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If they have a bye week after, maybe they go early, get acclimated.
And then they have time to recover on the bye week
here. They can recover on the bye week here. That kind of thing. Or if there's a bye week the week before in the lead up to it, then what do you do?
Yeah. There's a bunch of different ways to skin that cat. I don't know that anyone has been proven to be perfect.
But I'll say
but
this.
We'll find out 2 days before the schedule.
Going east, going west. It's a thing in the NFL that West Coast teams playing on the East Coast, they get up, they're playing the game at 10 a.m. For a 1 o'clock game Eastern. It's 10 a.m. in California. They do not have a great record.
Right.
It's hard to do that.
And I remember when Jim Harbaugh was coaching the 49ers, he would come out East for the week because of that record.
Right.
I remember when they were playing the Bengals, they set up shop for the week in Columbus, Ohio. And then the next week they were playing the Ravens. They stayed here. So mixed success. Sometimes that doesn't work, though, either. So
right.
I don't know that there's a proven formula per se. Topic for you today, what new face on the roster will have the biggest impact in 2023? It's not just draft choices that are new to the roster. We know the free agent additions back in March. There were two more this week, Latavius Murray and Puna Ford. And you know, we hope to have Latavius actually on the show today, a little bit later on in the program. He's got a community effort that he is spearheading in his native Syracuse, New York, and we'll get him on the show, and he'll be talking about that. You can find out how you can help Latavius with his fundraising efforts. So we'll have him along before we're off the air today, so we look forward to that conversation, one of the newest Buffalo Bills. But we're asking you at 803-0550, what new face on the roster do you believe will have the biggest impact on the team's fortunes in 2023? 803-0550, the local number to get on board, 1-888-550-2550, the toll-free number if you're outside the calling area, or you can hit us on the tweet sheet at @OneBillsLive. Steve and I take a break here, but we're back with your phone calls next. Stay tuned. All right, here we are on One Bills Live midweek. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. We'll be catching up with Latavius Murray, who will be here in studio in just a little bit. Stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, we are discussing with you which new face on the Bills roster will have the biggest impact in the 2023 season. And get on board. Got an open line for you at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The toll-free number, or on the tweet sheet at @OneBillsLive. To the phones we go, and leading us off today is Jack in Rochester. What do you got for us, Jack?
Well, I'm going to be a little bold and say Devin Williams, but not in the way you're thinking. I'm saying that now that we have two outside linebackers that are fast and can cover out of the backfield, I think we're going to switch away from this exclusively nickel defense to go to more of a blend of 4-3 and nickel, like the rest of the league does.
Okay. So Dorian Williams is your pick, though.
But as an outside linebacker, not in the middle.
Who's in the middle, just out of curiosity, with that projection?
Whoever wins the job.
Okay. So may the best man win. Mm-hmm. All right. So you've got three linebackers on the field then. Very good, Jack. All right. So he's got Dorian Williams, Matt Milano on the outside, and then the winner of the middle linebacker competition from the guys that are left. I do think there are going to be some noticeable differences with Sean McDermott calling this defense, Steve. It was interesting because when that decision was first made that Leslie Frazier was going to take a year off, it happened while we were at the Combine. And Ron Rivera, the Washington head coach, was at one of the lecterns at the Combine, and he was asked, you know, what do you think about Sean McDermott as a play caller? It stands to reason that he may very well, in fact, be the defensive play caller for the Bills this coming fall. This was before that decision was announced. And Ron Rivera had a one-word answer: aggressive.
Yeah.
So that's part one, because as you remember, this was a team that did not blitz a whole lot. And aggressive doesn't necessarily mean blitzing, but maybe more of it. And then I think he's going to spin the wheel on personnel usage, whether it's three safeties or, as Jack suggested, three linebackers or some other iteration. But I think he's going to change it a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's inevitable. Although, you know, you think about it, it's a pretty high bar. The Bills' defense has been top five, in some cases top three or top two over the last 4 years. Yeah. I mean, they've had a nice stretch here where they've been a top-flight defense. They had 1 year where it was with 2020 where they weren't as good, or was it 2021 where they weren't as good? But three out of the last 4 years, they have been stellar. And McDermott's going to take over that with some new faces in key spots, most notably middle linebacker. It will be interesting to see the differences there are. Mm-hmm. I alluded in the first segment, I thought maybe Tremaine Edmonds was one big reason they were able to play nickel so much, him and Taron Johnson. But if one of those two is not there, what happens?
Right.
Yeah. And how does that change things?
It's a valid question for sure. And we might get a sneak peek at it in training camp or the preseason, but probably not the full Monty until the regular season, right, knowing how much they keep it under wraps.
Right.
Back to the phones and to John on the west side. What do you got for us, John?
Hello?
Yeah, John, go ahead.
Go ahead.
How are you doing, guys? Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. What do you got for us?
Okay, first off, I want to talk about the schedule, because I was reading online. It just happened. I was reading that it's already been leaked that the Bills are playing October 8th. They don't know which team. October 8th, and then after that, we're going to have a bye week in London.
Oh,
I would like to know, do you guys heard anything about that?
We've heard similar rumors, John. You know, it's all conjecture right now. I mean, until it's official, it's not official.
Yeah, that'd be week, see.
5 or 6, I would think, right?
Week 6.
We'll see.
Maybe.
Yeah.
With a bye week after? Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a logical hypothesis.
I think it's a guess, though.
Yeah.
John, I think it's just a guess. Yeah. I don't know
people
why.
People are going to speculate. We get it.
And some, you know, I it makes sense that they'd put it early in the season, because their weather is, I don't know if it can't be any worse than ours.
It's a lot like Seattle.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. But we don't know who that's going to be either. What opponent?
We got to take a break here, because when we come back, we're going to be joined by Buffalo's newest running back, Latavius Murray, going to join us here in studio. He knows a little thing about playing overseas. He had 2 games over there last year. So we'll talk to him about that, along with his project coming up in his native Syracuse, when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, along with the Bills' newest running back, Latavius Murray, joining us in studio. I know you've been told this about 17 times. Welcome to Buffalo.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. I know it's just a shot down the thruway from home, so why don't we start there? How cool is that? That, I mean, did you ever imagine, you know, back when you were coming up as a high schooler that someday you might be playing just 2 hours away from your house as a professional?
Yeah, never imagine it. It's really cool. I remember I came to Buffalo one time. I believe my mom had some, you know, an appointment here, and I remember riding by the stadium, and you know, I just thought, okay, yeah, that's really cool. That's where the Bills play, and this was a long time ago. Might have been in, you know, elementary school.
Oh, okay.
And then, I mean, that's probably the last time I've been to Buffalo. And then, yeah, man, now I'm here playing just down the road from where I grew up and played high school football, Pop Warner, all that. So it's really cool.
Yeah, not only that, you've stayed connected to your hometown around Syracuse. You've got an event coming up this weekend on Saturday.
Yeah.
And you're raising funds to build a community center right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely you know, kind of like a dream come true when you talk about right now just the timing of everything and what I've been doing the past year or so with my foundation, and then to be right up the road playing is, you know, we have this event coming up to raise funds to build a community center back home. And yeah, it's just been a dream of mine to be able to bring resources, opportunities, you know, a facility that kids can and community members can go to and, you know, and benefit from. So like I used to going to the Boys and Girls Club and YMCAs and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be named in honor of a friend of yours who, you know, was tragically taken from us a while back, 2016, I want to say, right? Yep. So John Diaz is going to be who the community center is named after, right?
Yep. John Diaz was my best friend. You know, just somebody that, you know, you wake up every day and you talk to. You're talking like, you know, truly a best friend, a part of my life every single day. And so, you know, tragically taken away when I was with the Oakland Raiders. Never forget that day. Truly changed my life. But I definitely think I found a better side of myself and true meaning of life since that, and it's motivated me in every way. And so just grateful to be able to remember him in this way, keep his name alive, keep his legacy alive, because he truly deserves it. Any room he walked in, he lit up. He was a special person.
And you also have some of your former teammates coming in. Russell Wilson's coming in. Justin Simmons, he's a free safety. Those two guys, obviously, the Broncos. And, of course, now Gabe Davis. And then the Eagles running back Kenny Gainwell are going to be there. They're going to come help you do this. That's nice to have your teammates come in and show up and promote the cause.
Yeah, when I sign here, I'm like, man, I hope Russ still gets on that plane. But I'm like, so I call to make sure, like, you know, look, still love. But, yeah, man, just kudos to those guys, really. You know, they have no ties to look, my hometown, Syracuse, whatsoever, but they are friends of mine, teammates of mine, and it means a lot for them guys, especially, you know, in the off season, you know, to come back to little old Syracuse and help me make this event a special night, and it really will be.
Yeah, because this is the big fundraising event. Like, this is what's going to get you guys over the top to get all the funding you need for this thing, hopefully. And it's a black tie affair, right?
Yeah, formal black tie, yeah.
So jdccenter.org is where you can go to either donate if you can't make the event, or if you want tickets to the event, there is an event tab at the top of the page. You just click on that. It'll take you right to the black tie event, and then you just click on the get tickets button, and you're in like Flynn. And as Latavia said, he won't just be there by himself. He'll be there with some of his NFL former teammates. So pretty cool event on that side. And then obviously you can go there also and donate if you want to kind of help the cause. And you're already like in the process of the design phase of the community center, right? And have you picked out a site yet or?
Yeah. So the site is has been picked out. The site was donated to us. It's in Nedro, awesome. New York, where I grew up, where my mom's house still is.
Oh, very nice.
It sits between Aldi's and McDonald's. Aldi's owned the land. Aldi's donated the land.
Oh, that's
about 150 $1,000 donation, if you will. And so they started it off, man. Very grateful for them. We're actually going to recognize them the night of the event. And then got a donation from Jim Boeheim, the Julian Boeheim Foundation, Onondaga County, $2 million in the budget. So we still got some ways to go. We have some grants put in for federal and state. And so, we're making progress. Still work to be done. This gala definitely will create a lot of momentum for us to try and get us over that hump.
So you now you're 10 years into your career. Now you're finally – this may be your last stop. Who knows? Your first one could have been your last one, but it hasn't been, so I'm not going to say it.
Right.
But you're 10 years in. You're a different guy now than you were. Like I said, you've been through a lot. This is only a tip of the iceberg. Yeah. And we were talking to Brandon Bean. We had him on the show just a couple of days ago. And we talked to him about you, and he said, yeah, I was watching this film from this last year in Denver. It looked better than the film 2 years ago. And we're asking you about what – regimen you change. You said it was interesting to me because I get it. One thing you're doing differently now in your training and preparation is you're training with guys, a different guy, not just a one-on-one trainer. You got back into a group setting, and you think that made a big difference.
Yeah, so I have been training with my guy, especially like on field stuff, right? Like weight room is kind of is weight room, and And so I still do that, but as far as on the field, you know, running, sprinting, routes and all that, getting around a group of guys, competing, pushing each other, like that just kind of, that takes it up a notch. And so I think I really enjoyed that. It's made it fun. It's made it competitive, and it's what I needed. And so I definitely have been enjoying that part, and it's definitely something that I would say the last 2 years that I've been doing.
Yeah, because it's like a mindset thing. Like, you see that guy run the route, and you're like, let me try to run it even better than him.
Absolutely.
Ooh, I ran it better than him. Now let's see. Then he wants to top you. Absolutely. And then, but that's just raising everything, and now you have a more intense workout. You get more out of it, and you get better.
Yeah, it's like being in a gym. And even when you're in the weight room, you see guys throwing weight around. You're not trying to go in there and mess around. It's like, man, let me show them what kind of weight I'm throwing around even.
Interestingly enough, you played for New Orleans and Denver last year, correct?
Yep.
And is it true? He said, is it true you played in twice overseas last year? Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was actually a cool experience. I think probably one that maybe only a few people could actually say. Signed with New Orleans week two. We traveled to London, I think a week later, and I got activated from practice squad because Alvin Kamara was hurt. Mark Ingram starts that game. Mark Ingram goes down. Next thing you know, here I was just not sitting at home. I was working out, but next thing you know, I'm playing most of that game.
Yeah.
Land in New Orleans at 2 a.m. Get a call from Denver about 8 a.m. or so, 10 a.m., and was in Denver that next day.
Well, how'd that? Did they release you in New Orleans, or did you get traded?
No, when you're on practice squad, you can get. You can get called up. I'm on practice squad. So at that point, anybody can take me. It took one game.
Yeah, you weren't protected.
Nah, one game, and I said, Javonte Williams had. Signed with Denver, like I said, within 24 hours of being in London, and then I want to say. A week or two later, I was back in London.
2 weeks later, they had a London
game.
Wow.
And scored in both of those.
Nice.
It's a shame you didn't get the air miles, man. That would have been great.
I know, right?
the Bills are playing in London, you probably know.
Yeah.
We don't know when it's going to be or what game it's going to be. But so did you play in the same stadium both times?
No.
Yeah, okay. Did you play in Wembley and then Hotspur?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I thought that was cool, too, actually.
Yeah, guys are going to be picking your brain in that locker room. Like, hey, what's that field like? Yeah. Like, everything.
Yeah, Tottenham Stadium is
they got two fields.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
The soccer field rotates out. Exactly. The football field comes up from underneath. It's like a whole hydraulic thing. It's unbelievable.
It's a special stadium. It was really nice. Really nice. And then Wembley I played in there, I think, twice back with the Vikings.
Right.
And, a lot of history in there, too. And that environment was cool.
I played in Wembley way back in the day before the renovation.
Really?
Like, that's how old I am. Yeah. So, the Hotspur Stadium, one of the reasons it
it's really interesting for Bills fans. The Bills are going to go over there is because they're building a new stadium across the street right here. And Tottenham is
the model.
The model.
Okay.
Very closely related to what this one's going to look like.
Okay.
And you're telling me it was.
Oh, it's a palace.
It was nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. Really nice. It was packed in there. Saints versus Vikings. It was a great atmosphere. But I think, it gives it just a little bit of cover, right? Not fully covered.
Yeah, canopy, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was beautiful.
So, last one I've got for you, Latavius. How have the first few days gone here? We know that this locker room is one that is very welcoming to new guys on the scene. They put their arms around people and let you know, hey, you're part of the family now. How has that gone the first couple of days?
It's been just that, especially from, you know, look, the guys that I didn't know. I had some relationships already with Gabe, Dawson, Matt, Quisenberry. We have the same agent. So, but, you know, even meeting all the other guys that I didn't know, I see why, you know, they've had that success. I see why it's been a special locker room you see from afar. Mm-hmm. And so it's really cool to be here. You know, excited every day, man, showing up, just trying to, you know, again, make my impact, make my mark on this locker room, on this team. But first you do that, man, by putting in the work. So that's where I'm focused on.
Welcome once again to Buffalo. Glad to have you on the team. And good luck with your big event this weekend.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. Appreciate y'all.
Once more, if you want to donate or you want to try to get a ticket to the gala on Saturday, you go to jdccenter.org. That's the website. You go on there. If you want to go to the event, click on the event tab at the top of the page. Otherwise, that donate button is right there in the top right-hand corner. Hit that, help Latavius get to his goal so he can get that community center built for the kids out there in Syracuse. We will take a break here. When we come back, more of your phone calls as we're going to check in with you, see who you think that's new on the roster going to make the biggest impact in 2023. Maybe it's this guy right over here. We'll get your phone calls next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Hour number two. Good to catch up with Latavius Murray. If you missed our conversation with him, you can check it out after we're off the air later this afternoon. You can either go to the Bills YouTube channel or go right to BuffaloBills.com. And if you scroll all the way to the bottom at about 3:30 p.m. Eastern time, they've got the whole show re-racked for your listening pleasure. But trust me when I tell you, you've got to go all the way to the bottom of the page.
Got to find it. You got to want it.
Well, I mean, nothing but prime time location for us on BuffaloBills.com, I tell you. If there was a page two, we'd be on it.
That's right. We are the back page of the website.
Oh, that just struck me as funny. 803-0550, the number to get on board as we are talking with you about what new face on the roster do you think will have the biggest impact on the Bills 2023 season. We go back to the phones and to some guys that have been waiting patiently. We lead off with Brian in Alabama here. What do you got for us, Brian? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. How you guys doing?
We're doing all right.
Good.
For me, I would say it would have to be Taylor Rapp.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons. One, I feel like you can employ the three safety look more often and kind of handle that middle linebacker position more so as a committee, especially when you get into like third down and long or second and long. Mm-hmm. So I really feel like he can be beneficial in those situations. And then two, from an injury standpoint, I just remember, you know, a few times last year or throughout the last couple of years when Micah or Jordan went down, I felt like my stomach would drop because just the drop off between them two and then, you know, the rotational pieces behind them. So you have a starter caliber and Rapp that can come in and doesn't miss a beat if one of those two goes down, heaven forbid, if one of those two goes down. So that's my choice for the most impact.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Good call, Brian.
It makes a lot of sense. Thanks, Brian. You're right. And it, I'll say this, too. They're not going to get healthier the older they get. And last year, by all rights, they probably both should have been out with injury, but Poyer just
gutted it out.
I mean, he had all kinds of stuff. He was dragging luggage
collapsed
all season.
Lung.
shoulders, he had that elbow contraption wearing that
his shoulder, camp.
And then he had to, you know, he had to drive to Kansas City.
Yeah.
It's just one thing after another with him, and he just said, "Listen, I'm playing," and that's it. So, yeah, by all rights, we probably should have been without both Poyer and Hyde. Don't know what's going to happen this year, but like I said, you can't think they're going to be. It's going to be, you know, they're going to be healthier as 30-year-old plus guys. So, yeah, Rapp may be the guy who has to get called on, and we'll find out what he's made of. Hopefully he's the same kind of player.
Yeah, but here's the other thing.
It's a good point.
Here's the other part of this equation. Taylor Rapp, I mean, Sean McDermott, like many other NFL head coaches, their job is to get the 11 best players on the field.
Right. He may be one of them.
You can make an argument that Taylor Rapp might be one of the 10 best players on this defense, or 11 best players on this defense. And so, as Brian alluded, three safety look could not only be part of this defense in certain packages and given weeks against certain opponents, it may also be a way to mitigate how you deploy the middle linebacker and fill the middle linebacker spot.
Right.
As Brian suggested, you go three safety a good portion of the time, suddenly middle linebacker might become a committee position.
Safety or linebacker or one of those guys, yeah. It's interesting, and I don't know who would be the guy to – I guess it would be your middle linebacker would come off instead of your and to put the safety on the field.
Yeah, if it's like a run-fit middle linebacker, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, it's really interesting because, like we said, we keep getting back to it. They've never been anything but nickel except in short yardage or mm-hmm. goal line stances, right, where they get all – you know, everybody's packed in around the ball. They've always been nickel. But it's Sean McDermott's defense now.
So think about this. What if – you see the opponent when you're in your regular nickel that we're all have become familiar with, and they're running right at Taron with some 240-pound back.
Right.
And you go big nickel and put Rapp on the field instead of Taron, who brings a little bit more size to the equation. Not a ton, but more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an option too.
Absolutely.
Because he can cover slot receivers.
Yeah, and that's what teams were doing. We saw that, you know, Orlovsky.
Yeah, we
and
saw
guys,
that last
some analysts
year.
Were bringing this to the attention of, you know, fans and stuff. You do film study, and what teams were doing was Bills would get into the nickel just like they're always in nickel, and they said, okay, we're gonna run right at that nickel back, and which is Taron. So they're gonna run right at Taron. They're gonna pull a big 300-pound guard out and try and get in space and get Taron to take that guy on and just bolt steamroll the guy. That was the strategy. The Bills were number two in scoring defense and number one in yards, and you know that didn't work that well. Plus,
but I think Sean McDermott is the kind, and probably not unlike any other coach. You see that on film, you know other offenses are going to see it. So if you saw it a little last year, and you keep things the same, you're going to see more of it this year.
Right.
You have to have a solution for that.
That's right.
Or a counter to that.
That's right. And there's nothing. One of the things that the Bills have going, Bills defense has going for it, is the fact they got Josh Allen on the other side, hanging points at faster than anybody in the league except for Kansas City. They're keeping up with everybody on the scoreboard. So teams do get a little bit of that. Well, we can run it if we want, but they're throwing it into the end zone. You know, we got to keep up. So they do get a little benefit from teams, you know, falling behind on the scoreboard and saying, listen, we can't be running this, grinding this out, because every time we give the ball back to them, they're going the distance. There's a little bit of that as well. But in other games, and some of these games we've been talking about where it is kind of difficult, it seems like a heavy lift for the offense, teams do have the ability to say, listen, we're going to hand it off until you make a stop. Well, you got to make them stop.
Yeah. Let's get back to the phones. We'll go to Rich in Tonawanda next. What do you got for us, Rich?
Hello, gentlemen. First of all, I'd like to say I had the privilege of coaching Lancaster varsity football for nearly 25 years, and I am truly a mock draft junkie. I absolutely fell in love with Dalton Kincaid and was hoping that he would be their number one pick.
Well, we're glad your wish came true.
Yes, it did. I realized I was looking at highlights, but I did not see a weakness in this game, and I truly look at him as being a nightmare for opposing defenses to match up against. I wouldn't be at all surprised or shocked, I should say, if he were their second leading receiver this coming season.
Wow. There you go.
I'm thrilled with him.
All right. Well,
that's great. Yeah, thanks, Rich. Appreciate it. And I'm sure that there are a lot of guys around Western New York that are pretty happy about having you as a coach. That's nice. If you coach that long, you're doing something right. So congratulations on that. You're right. Kincaid seems like, because you always put that high draft pick and we can put a little shine on all of them, but you're right. His skill set and the way the league is trending, and as productive as he was against good teams at a high level, yeah, that's a piece that the Bills would love to use and I think utilize. My only caution is this coaching staff and this team, it's hard. They don't put rookies on the field just to put them on the field. They got to earn it, and it's hard to earn it on this roster.
Yeah. I don't know why. I feel that he might be the exception or an exception. Now, maybe. Granted, we early in this roster build, there were more exceptions because even the rookies were some of the most talented players on the roster.
Tre'Davious White, Tremaine.
Deion Dawkins.
Taren,
Matt Milano didn't start right away. They had Humber here.
They were starting Levi Wallace, who was an undrafted rookie free agent at corner. So
it's different.
It was a different world, and it's a better world now. Even though it makes us wait on some guys we'd love to see play a little more.
But I tend to agree with Rich because I think in time he's going to be the number two option right behind Diggs. And that's what everybody wanted this offseason. I just don't think they thought it was going to take the form of a tight end. I think that everybody had receiver on the brain. Well, number two target could very easily be a tight end.
Even in a perfect world, how long is it going to take for him to grow into it? You know? I mean, he's not going to go in there and take snaps in front of Dawson Knox. Not week one, maybe not week four. You know what I mean? He's going to grow into it. Maybe he grows in fast. I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see how long. All our wildest dreams come true. He's better than Travis Kelce. Wow. How long is it going to take for us to find that out? You know what I mean? When's it going to show up? When will he get enough opportunity and production to say, listen, you got Sean McDermott in a staff meeting on a Monday after a game going, and all those guys are going, we got to get him on the field more. We got to get this guy on the field more. He's doing too much. He's doing too well. We got to get him on the field. How long is it going to take for that to happen? You know, that's the real question, right? Even if everything, all our hopes and dreams are on the horizon, how long does it take for them to arrive? That's the real question. Because it's difficult to earn it. Because on your way up, every mistake sets you back twice as long. I mean, that's what kept James Cook off the field last year. We all remember his first carry as a pro. Boom, he coughs it up. And I was talking to Thurman Thomas. We didn't see him for a month. He was laughing. He goes, I know, we didn't see him for a month.
Yep.
Yeah, it's once you know, if these guys keep going, and then it works just the same the other way. Christian Benford never took a step back, and he ended up on day one.
Until he got injured. Yeah.
And on day one, he's the guy. It can happen. We just witnessed it last year at corner. But will it happen at tight end? I do not know. It's hard to do, man. You got to go, and you got to. Every single practice, every single game, every single rep, you know, there's not too many step backwards, you know.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah, so that's really the question. How long will it, even if he is that guy, how long is it going to take for him to prove it?
Yeah.
That's a real question.
Let's head to the tweet sheet to see what you think about what new face on the roster will have the biggest impact in 2023. Tweet sheet brought to you, as always, by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. Ray is first on the list, and he says Osiris Torrance because he looks good enough to lock down the right guard spot and free up Bates to push Spencer Brown at right tackle. I don't know if Bates is a tackle by trade. As we heard Brandon Bean say, and I quote, Bates can get you through a game there. But I would argue that he's more of a guard center than he is a guard tackle. That's not to say he's not valuable. He is. His versatility is a huge value to this offensive line. And I wouldn't just dismiss him out of hand that Osiris Torrence is going to overtake him for the position by the time we get to training camp. I think there's going to be a competition there, and a hearty one at that. And it's not just those two guys. It's David Edwards as well, who, oh, by the way, is a three-year starter himself coming over from the Rams. So we've said it more than once on this show. Right guard and middle linebacker are going to be the two fiercest position battles in training camp this summer. Yeah, unless someone puts a stranglehold on it here in the spring, and you don't really play real football to nail those right. positions like that down. Training camp's going to be fierce at those two spots.
Ike Butker, David Edwards, Connor McGovern, Ryan Bates, and then you go down and you've got Kevin Jarvis, 6'6", 325, first-year player out of Michigan State. Greg Mance, 6'4", 302, eighth year out of Toledo. Then you've got Alec Anderson, Spencer Brown, Deion Dawkins, Tommy Doyle, Ryan Vandermark, Kessenberry. I mean, they got a bunch of guys. And I think last year taught them a little something about, I mean, they learned this, I think, the hard way in 2018 when Josh had to go in and play and they didn't have anybody around him. Or actually 2019 when they got to the playoffs and their offensive line just wasn't as good as it should have been. And they have not forgotten that. Last year they did the same thing. They brought in a ton of guys and they sifted through them. And at first glance, and you could say, well, they did the same thing last year. Well, these are different guys, and these guys, to me, seem younger, more talented, and physically bigger than they have in the past.
Yeah. I mean, you can go round and round, but this offensive line, especially guard to guard, is as deep as I've seen it in the McDermott Bean era. Let's go back to the tweet sheet. B. Hicks says, I hope for Connor McGovern to step in and fill the left guard spot with greater impact than Roger Saffold. At times, Saffold seemed like a revolving door. So if McGovern lines up to the contract, lives up to the contract, Allen will see a lot more time in the pocket. Yeah, I mean, there's no second guessing what they think of McGovern. He got the biggest free agent contract for an offensive lineman this offseason for the Bills. So I think the financial investment alone would indicate he is the leader in the clubhouse to assume that left guard position left behind by the departed Roger Saffold. Biggest difference between Saffold and McGovern, as Steve just pointed out a moment ago, McGovern turns 26 in November. He's a 25-year-old offensive lineman with starting experience entering the prime of his career. He's not Roger Saffold in year 14 hanging on hoping to win a Super Bowl. This guy can play, and you would argue he is still on the ascent as a player.
Right. Now he's not the perfect guy, otherwise he would never be out of Dallas. He's a little better in the run blocking than he is pass pro. I can't remember the synopsis I read, but that's what the thought was. He's a better pass pro guy than he is a run blocker. That's what it was. And that's why I said, that's okay, because we're going to throw the football all the time anyway. That's where he's at. But he's like Brownie said, he's still getting better. And I he's physically gifted. I think he's just the kind of guy you're looking for to be a fixture on your line. And I think the Bills saw that too, because he's one of the few guys that got a couple multi-year deal rather than a one-year deal.
Uh-huh. Tweet sheet from Ed. Easy answers Dalton Kincaid and the possibilities he brings to the Bills' offense. Osiris Torrence is second choice because he gives the Bills' offensive line a new life for the running game. How much do you think the Torrence pick played off the McGovern signing, Steve? Because as you just mentioned, pass pro is McGovern's specialty or strength. For Torrence, he's a road grader in the run game.
Yeah, I think it's just coincidence that they seem to be opposite. That they were looking for the
best
guy. Not
that Torrence can't pass protect. He can.
Torrence is
Yeah, once you get in, plus in get in the when you're playing guard, you tend to get engaged quick, and when Torrence gets engaged, it's over. I mean, it's like walking into.
He's got 11 and a quarter
like,
inch hands.
Yeah, it's like flypaper. You can't get away. So, yeah, I like plus both those guys are way over three bills, and there's just a lot of meat in there. You know, it's just a lot of girth.
He also mentioned Dalton Kincaid, and you know we've had callers say the same. I understand what you're saying about rookies getting on the field, how it tends to take a little longer here in Buffalo under this coaching staff to get significant playing time. I do believe, though, Steve, that the long-range look for this kid, he's catching 80 balls in a year or two. Like, maybe he only catches 40, 45 this year. But a couple of years from now, when Diggs is long in the tooth and you don't know what the rest of your receiving core looks like, you know you're still going to have him.
Right.
He's going to be catching 80, 85 balls a season.
Right.
I mean, am I crazy?
No.
I think that's completely within the realm of possibility.
That's what you want. I mean, you want the guy to grow into one of those. You want him to grow into that. And my, you know, this is the same thing my point a minute ago is, how long will that take? Will it take an entire year?
It'd be nice if it takes a couple of weeks.
Right?
Sorry. Don't mean to put any pressure on the kid. But
you know, it goes – think about this, though. You've got Diggs with 108 catches last year. Then you've got Davis, Knox, and McKenzie. All of them, they had 48 for Knox and Davis, 42 for McKenzie, and then Devin Singletary had 38. Nobody else had above 23.
Right. But don't you think they kind of want to take a little of the load off of Diggs?
Absolutely. I don't know.
Because that's a heavy.
I think you can still get him 108 balls, but I think some of these other guys, and like I said, if you cut out the drops and you cut out the turnovers, Diggs got 120 catches. Davis has 60 at least.
Yeah.
You know, Knox probably has 55. I mean, that's a different world over there. I don't think there's any question that the guys that they drafted, Shorter and Kincaid, they don't have many drops. And they got some contested balls on their film.
Yeah. Shorter had one on his last 116 targets over his final two seasons.
I don't think that's a coincidence.
And Kincaid had four his entire college career, which spanned five seasons.
I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah. Hey, number one, how much does Coach McDermott talk about ball security? I mean, it's ad nauseum.
Right.
I mean, it's constant. That's number one. And then number two, this team was second in the league in drop passes last year.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that sure-handedness when looking at a receiving tight end or a receiver did not maybe move up a tick or two on the priority list for the full body of work of prospects that the Bills were looking at this year.
Yeah. I'll say this. I mean, I'll say it again. Catching the ball is pretty important for a tight end wide receiver, you know. You kind of need to do that. And I get it, too. Josh doesn't always throw the easiest ball to grab.
Yeah, sometimes it's outside your body frame and it's coming in like a laser.
Yeah, so I get that. You gotta make that.
You got to be better than a 52% catch rate.
That's your top job.
You got to be up in the 70s, mid-70s at least. And preferably high 70s, low 80s. Fucha on the tweet sheet says, I saw the question and Kincaid immediately came to mind because he'll likely have more visible impact in the slot. I had to stop, though, because we have so many promising individuals like Torrence and Ford on the lines that could also easily have an impact. I can't wait to see. Somebody I haven't seen yet, Steve, and maybe it's just because he's an unknown, like Deonte Hardy. Like, that guy is a pocket rocket, man. He is a playmaker. You go watch his Saints. Oh, you know what? We should have Latavius was only there for a couple of weeks, but we should have asked Latavius about Deontay a little bit. Just haven't been around him last year.
He was only there
in New Orleans.
A couple of weeks. Yeah.
But
I'm very.
You watch his tape. Whew.
I'm high on that guy. And I'm high on Sherfield as well, because I keep going back to it. That the Miami offense was singing. I mean, it was humming along for about a month and a half right in the middle third of the season, remember? And they were, like, killing it. Tua was healthy. Tyreek was going off. Jaylen Waddle was playing extremely well. And in the midst of all of that really high-potent, high-powered offense, Trent Sherfield carved out targets.
And a role.
And a role. And that's pretty amazing.
And you know who he pushed out to the side? Mike Gesicki.
That's right. Gesicki is like a...
This guy leapfrogged Gesicki, and he's not even there anymore.
Right. Right. I'm really excited to see Sherfield play in a Bills uniform and get some see how he does with the targets he gets, as well as Deontay Hardy. Both those guys strike me as real guys with real skill sets and some ability that'll show through. And, you know, they'll make big plays out of small plays,
yeah,
and so make something out of nothing. And I think it's a lot of fun to think about. But it's just two more guys that are going to make it really, really hard to decide who makes that team.
Jack on the tweet sheet says, Puna Ford is a heck of a run stuffer and pretty good at being disruptive in the backfield. If injuries pop up again or if guys underperform, Ford will step in and take their jobs. Let's not rule out Harris at running back when healthy. Guy can break open a game, as we've seen. He's playing for a contract. I like everything that Jack said there. First and foremost, though, don't sleep on Ford.
Right.
Just because he's the last guy that signed of the five at defensive tackle doesn't mean that's where he's going to be on the depth chart.
Here's a couple of things.
This guy's going to compete.
Once I found out they were interested in Puna Ford, I told Brownie to do my research for me, so he did. So here's what we found out. He was one of the top 20 defensive tackles in all of football 2 years ago and 3 years ago and 4 years ago. Last year, Seattle went from a 4-3 defensive scheme to a 3-4, and his production fell way off. So he doesn't fit their defensive scheme like he did 2, 3, and 4 years ago. So they're letting him go. 4-3 teams were lined up to sign him, and he tweeted out, I took less money to go play in Buffalo for a year to see if I can win a ring. Teams were lined up to sign Puna Ford. They wanted the guy. So he signs with Buffalo a little bit like Von Miller. He said, let's take a shot at this. He's 5'11", 310.
He's a fire hydrant.
He is a tree stump. And he's, you know, he had 3.5 sacks, had a season-high sacks last year playing in a 3-4 where he didn't really fit. But this guy, you watch him play, and it's impossible for NFL guards to get underneath him.
They can't.
The guy is a gopher. He's a 300-pound gopher. I mean, he's almost subterranean. They can't dig him out. So I agree. I love the signing. I love his take on it from his own words, so reported. And I think you're right, Jack. Puna Ford is, I think people are going to start to learn who he is, and you're going to start seeing. I think he got a chance to see Puna Ford with his own T-shirt. That's what I think. Hmm.
Meanwhile, Damian Harris, Steve, is a guy we haven't heard a lot about because he signed kind of way back in the process. But Bills fans know just who that guy is because he's had some big games against the Bills. And
if you can't beat him, join him.
Physical.
They brought him up.
Physical downhill runner who can, if he can make the safety miss and then he's going.
Yeah.
I mean, he can scoot now, but even though he's not a 240-pound guy, he runs tough, man. Welcomes contact, not afraid to lower the shoulder and power through. And again, 24 years old. You know, free agents on one-year deals, 24, 26,
yeah.
Puna Ford, 27. Young guys.
It gives you a chance, and we've talked about it at length, about how the Bills began this trend in the NFL of signing guys to one-year deals. And guys biting at it, knowing they could get a chance, especially a roster like Buffalo, of making a big difference on a really good football team. And if they can do that, then they will get a contract from the Bills or from another team. And that is, I think it's a great way to do business. Other teams are now more and more starting to emulate it. But all these guys know this, we've seen it. Sean McDermott can look around anybody in the locker room on a one-year deal or in the last year of their deal saying, listen, you prove it. If you prove it, if you're one of our guys, we will sign you. We'll give you the contract. You can look at Dawson
Knox.
After
the one-year deal, you mean.
That's right. Yeah, if you prove it to us, we'll pay you. Matt Milano found out. Taron Johnson found out. Dawson Knox found out. All those guys. And there are some guys that aren't here.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you can't think that this isn't seen by all these players, and this, it seems to be working just exactly like you thought about it. We know that McDermott and Bean used to hang out when they were working with Carolina, when he was a coordinator, and Bean was the assistant GM or down the line and personnel guy and stuff. And you see those guys having a beer going, listen, well, you know what I would do? Just give these guys one-year deals. They come in, you get them a three-year deal, they shut it down for 2 years before they turn it on in that contract year. Just sign them to a one-year deal. Pay them a little extra. You know, they got to think they're going to get that money because they're going to make the team. They're smart enough to know that, and here they are. Now the whole league's doing it.
Yeah. We have to take a break here. We will continue to read off some of your better tweets or take a phone call if you want to chime in on who you think among the new faces on the roster will have the biggest impact on the 2023 season for the Bills. We're also going to talk about some of this discussion concerning the addition of Puna Ford, the middle linebacker competition, and why there could be changes forthcoming in terms of how they fit up the run and why. We got some interesting stats to pass along next. Here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, we're working our way through the tweet sheet here as we've been asking you all day today, which new face on the roster do you believe will make the biggest impact on the 2023 season for the Bills? And Chris brings up an area that we want to dive into. Chris says, Puna Ford, not even close. No more long runs up the middle against us. Go Bills. I know the running game of the Bengals in the divisional playoff was a major bone of contention, maybe a little recency bias, because it was the last game that they played. But there is some credence to the concerns that a number of Bills fans had about how they were getting run on up the middle. I will remind you, Daquan Jones missed that game. And that guy played over 60% of the snaps in a rotational system in which most players only get about 48 to 50. So there was a reason that guy was in there as much as he was. He was the best run stuffer in the group. He missed the game due to injury. Jordan Phillips, as we know, was playing with one arm. And now you're down to Tim Settle, Brandon Bryant, and Ed Oliver, who was getting double-teamed because they didn't have to worry about a nose tackle.
Yeah, in the last 3 weeks of the season, the Bills were not the same team they were. They certainly weren't the same team they were at the beginning of the year when they had Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer healthy, where they had Von Miller healthy, you know, the whole nine yards. Jordan Phillips, all these guys. So they were not the same team they started the season with. And you can say, hey, that's the way it goes. Yeah, you're right. But and it was just too much for them to overcome. They're going to be right back in that same wheelhouse again this year. And they've got to overcome it this year. Whatever injuries they have, which is unknown and unpredictable and out of your control, you got to overcome that stuff. Same thing with, you know, with the DeMar Hamlin thing and all, you're going to have to overcome some stuff. I don't know what it's going to be this year, but there's going to be some stuff. Mm-hmm. You got to overcome it. And you've got to play well on the day the game happens. Sometimes they just didn't have it in the tank when that happened.
Right. So with respect to getting run on, Warren Sharp from Sharp Football Analysis had these interesting statistics in the wake of the Puna Ford signing. The Bills allowed just 3.4 yards per carry when opposing running backs, ran behind either tackle or around the end. So outside runs, 3.4 yards per carry for Bills opponents. That's a very respectable average against for a defense. When running backs attacked the middle of the defensive line, guard to guard, Buffalo's run defense ranked 31st in yards per carry, 5.1 average. Last in the league in percentage of runs that gain 10 yards or more, 16%. 26th in percent of runs that gained 5 yards or more, 38%. Between the tackles, or the guards in this case, was the main sticking point and stumbling block for the Bills' run defense. And that was with a healthy Daquan Jones for 17 of the 18 games they played. Puna Ford is a run stuffer by trade. And I would estimate that he helps that statistic considerably, knowing his skill set.
Exactly. They should have the bodies to make a difference in that this year. They should have a deeper pool of talent to go to. They should be able to keep them fresh with their rotation that they use. And they should get – they got a guy in Puna Ford who's going moving back into a 4-3 system where he had thrived in years past. There's every reason to think they're going to have the horses up front to get done whatever they need to get done.
I think he's going to be a part of the regular rotation. I'm just saying it right now. He's just – he's so effective because his body type is so unique. You know? He's right. Just so square.
Right.
It's like – try blocking a square block. Like, there's nothing to get your hands on. And he just – people just slide off him because you can't even bend enough to get your hands under his breastplate. You know what I mean? You can't lift him because he's already down so far.
Yeah, he runs well off the edge. This – we just saw a sack he had against the Las Vegas Raiders where he comes from the defensive tackle in a 4-3, gets an arm up under – and rips the guard. He gets the wrist of the guard lift with his left hand, lifts the right arm of the guard up and gets his left arm under the guy's armpit and rips through and gets the sack on Derek Carr. Just textbook stuff. And then when you watch him do the run game, he literally, every time he comes off the ball and gets into the guard, it's like me when I throw the covers over me. I mean, they can't get underneath him. He just gets them over. He's underneath him. It's like throwing the covers over your head. I mean, that's how he looks. So he's, you know, they can't get any pad level on him. And, you know, being as girthy as he is, they can't push him unless they get low and get underneath him. And they can't.
Yeah.
The guy's 5'11".
Yeah. I'm telling you.
He fills up the doorway from the doorknob down. Right?
I'm telling you, it's like trying to push a cinder block.
That's right. So it's a really good signing for the Bills. I'm excited about it. As much, I guess, knowing with Brownie and I sitting here, we keep, obviously all our listeners keep up with us. We talk about every new guy they get. We're a little excited about Puna Ford. We didn't talk about, you know, even Latavius. We had him on the show, you know, or the other running back. None of these guys we've talked about with the excitement of Puna Ford, that we're talking about Puna Ford. I love big guys. I love having them on the team. I love what they can do, and I love what they mean for the club and the production you can get out of them and the difference they make for little guys like the ones like when I played. I love those guys. And Puna Ford is a guy that's a difference maker, could be a difference maker for this club. And so it's amazing to me that he's the guy that you and I are – talking the most about.
Let's not forget, last year at this time, everybody was talking about all the flashy additions that this team made, and I was excited more. Everybody was pumped about Vaughn, and I get why. And everybody was, you know, over the moon about the other additions that this team made. And I was most excited about the defensive linemen that they signed. They got Jordan Phillips back. They signed Daquan Jones, and they got Tim Settle in here. And I said, oh, doctor. You know, we're going to have a rotation that's actually going to get something done. Now, injuries compromise that to a great degree. I don't know. Maybe I just get excited about defensive tackles too much. Maybe I have a problem. I don't know.
But the guys they've got, I mean, they've got some bodies down in there. Even the guys they had here last year, Eli Ankou, who's been around the club for
now. He's still here now.
He's still here. Brandon Bryant, Puna Ford, Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, Jordan Phillips, Tim Settle. And then they've got Kendall Vickers, mm-hmm. who they picked up.
Practice squad last year.
Cortez Broughton and Eli Onku.
Spent some time on the practice squad last year. Those are some of their future free agents that they signed in January.
Yeah. So they got a lot of guys they're going to sort through, and probably defensive end is probably the one where they've got the fewest new guys who are actually going to have a chance. Kingsley Jonathan, he's been around here too as a defensive end, is really the only name that is not a household name with Greg Rousseau, Shaq Lawson, A.J. Epenesa, Boogie Basham, Von Miller. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all the defensive ends they've got except for Ely. So defensive tackle, they brought in some dudes to try it out.
Yeah. And Ely Onku's a square –
he's a
squarely built guy, too. The difference between him and Puna Ford is he's got about 5 inches on him. He's about 6'3", 6'4".
Right.
So, yeah, it's interesting. We have to take a break here. When we come back, some final thoughts on the tweet sheet. And we saw Josh Allen play in the match last year with Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and others. Who has been slated to play in the match this year? We'll tell you next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, new face on the roster that makes the biggest impact. Some final thoughts on the tweet sheet. Koosh says, I personally hope it's Damian Harris. I think that would be really awesome. Would love to have some great running back play this year. From Bills News Consolidated, Deonte Hardy. There it is, because he's surrounded by talent such as Josh Allen and statistically could dominate in yards after catch in comparison to McKenzie. I'm intrigued. I want to see what Hardy can do. My interest is piqued.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions about who's going to be able to contribute. I don't know that we had these huge questions last year. Maybe it was Gabe Davis last year. We thought he was going to spread his wings and do great things. And the offense wasn't broken this last year. It was really good. But, you know, it always seemed like you say, Brownie, I like the way you said it. It seems like a heavy lift once in a while.
Uh-huh.
They win these games, but sometimes it seems like, wow, it was hard. Well, it's a hard league to win in. But with guys like Hardy, Sherfield, Davis, Diggs, now, you know, Knox and Kincaid and, you know, James Cook being the number one guy or at least the starting guy to begin with. It's really going to be fun to see how it evolves and who gets the ball out of Josh's hands. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, this just in, Josh is still there too. So
that's right.
I think we thought it last year, and certainly that's true, but I think more so than anything, Ken Dorsey – it's going to be his offense now. It's not going to be like this extension of Dayball and those kind of things.
It's going to be Sean McDermott's defense.
Yeah.
More than ever.
I think that's really going to have something to say about what this team looks like when it takes the field.
The PGA Tour, Steve, has announced the foursome for the match. Last year it was Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes up against Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. This year, Patrick Mahomes is back with his wingman, Travis Kelce. They will be going up against the Splash Brothers.
Steph Curry
and Klay Thompson.
Nice.
I know Curry's a big golfer, big-time golfer.
Yeah.
He even had that show on TV, that miniature golf competition show, with some of the most ridiculous like obstacles you've ever seen on a mini-golf course in your life.
Right.
But he's way into golf, so I get it. And, you know, the guy's highly visible.
That's good, though. I like that. I'll watch it.
I think that would be entertaining.
I'll watch it. That's good
stuff. The match is on June 29th, right in the middle of the summer. That announced by the PGA Tour.
All right.
It's a good time to do it. You know, it's the dead time for the football season. Basketball's done by then. You know, even if the Warriors somehow get to the finals.
June is a quiet month for the NFL, the only one.
That's right. All right. That's it for us here today. Steve's out tomorrow. Maddie will be in with me. We'll see you at 1:00.